Ben Jillette Show on Free FM. Obviously, with Michael Goudeau.
Good morning, Mr. Jillette.
A couple of jugglers in Vegas sitting around talking to New York, Chicago, D.C., Balmer, San Francisco. You like the way I say Balmer?
Balmer?
I love
it. And
we played Baltimore for quite a while, mm-hmm. the Penn & Teller show.
Right.
And they would tell me, you know, it's you pronounce it Balmer. So I would say that. I don't think you really do. I think they just do that to outsiders.
Just to you.
So they act like they're in, you know. We don't have anything like that in Massachusetts. We didn't say, you know, it's Massachusetts. We didn't do any of that stuff. But Balmer is what they said. And I liked it there. And also in San Francisco, San Diego, Seattle. We're talking to a few people. But we are in Las Vegas, where it's a beautiful day, and I'm so happy to be back talking to you.
I know.
It's been Gilbert, it's been Randy, it's been Provenza, a lot of screaming, and we were, past 2 days, we've been spending the afternoons shooting Bulls Hit, Penn & Teller's Bulls Hit mm-hmm. for Showtime. And, you know, the way we do that show is the, you know this, Goudeau.
I know.
I'm looking in your eyes like I'm addressing you. But we shoot all over the country, I guess all over the world, because cryptozoology, we did the Loch Ness Monster.
That's right.
We were shooting in Loch Ness. We do all that all over the place, all different producers, all under the unerring hand of Star Price. They get all this footage, they put it together, and then we gang shoot them. It's a big gang shoot. And we do all the shows here in Vegas with the Penn & Teller stand-up. So we just finished, past couple of days, we just finished cryptozoology, which is Bigfoot. I'm saying this because this is today's show. I want to just talk about, you know, got a zillion subjects. I want to have phone calls. 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Or you can write Gmails at PennRadio, P-E-N-N, radio at gmail.com. We want to talk to everybody. You know, we've been so much in this little isolated room. And so we covered crypto. If you have anything to say on cryptozoology, this is one of the ones we do on Bulls Hit that is.
Every season we do one that's a little fluffy.
It's a little fluffy. I don't think there's anyone who believes in Bigfoot. If there is someone that believes in Bigfoot, we'd love to hear from you. But I don't think there is.
Maybe Bigfoot will call in himself.
But that's a lot of heavy jokes. You know, just joke.
A lot of jokes.
You know, people dressed up as Bigfoot.
Right, but we also did Boy Scouts.
We did Boy Scouts, which is, I think, our heavy one this year.
That could be.
Because the Boy Scouts, man, we found that connection to the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Where I just did these stand-ups yesterday, and I have now forgotten them. But it's one-fifth of the board of directors are higher up in the Mormon church.
Right.
And
30,000 Boy Scout troops are sponsored by the Mormon church.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, the Boy Scouts does not allow in atheists or gays.
Right.
Throw them out, which is cool. If you get a private organization, it is very cool. Yeah. If I had a club, I wouldn't let Mormons in. But the difference is with the Boy Scouts is they take government money.
Right.
And they have meetings in the schools that they don't pay for.
And there are laws within the school district that disallow using the property for any discriminatory purposes.
Right.
And this would be one.
Yeah.
And so Congress has passed a law saying, except for the Boy Scouts. I think that was the
we could be discriminatory.
Sum that
it
up.
Really is. It really is a law that says that you can't discriminate against the Boy Scouts. You can't give them less money, or you lose a lot of your other money.
Yeah.
but the Boy Scouts, you know, it was so cool when I was a kid. You know, it was so cool when I was a kid to be a Boy Scout. I mean, I didn't like it,
but it was cool anyway.
I hated it.
Just liked the outfit.
I like the outfit.
You did look good in one yesterday. Boy, you were wearing a Boy Scout.
Well, you know, we're gonna play you. We did some interviews on the set of Bulls Hit because Mario showed up.
Mario.
And we did a talk. And while we interviewed, we talk about you taping my ass, and we can comment on that more. But I want to play that tape. We also do one on prostitution. Now, doing a BS on prostitution, it does not mean this is giving away a joke in the show.
Yes, it is.
But the way I feel, people listening, they can either listen to the radio show or they can watch the Showtime show.
They're not doing
they
both.
Don't need to do both. You really don't need to do both. If you're
getting
watching,
enough Penn and Teller, you think on just one or the other.
I think you get plenty.
Okay.
Maybe see the Penn & Teller show when you come to Vegas once. Either listen to the radio show or Showtime. If you want to do all of those, you know, be my guest. But I got to tell you, I get a little sick of myself. So prostitution, we are not, of course, questioning the existence of prostitution.
Right. Not like the Bigfoot thing.
Not at all.
There
but we are talking about why it's illegal. So really, we have got subjects, 866-313-FREE. If you want to talk directly to the guys who are going to go on TV and have already taped these and can't do anything about it, cryptozoology, Boy Scouts, prostitution, and we cover the death penalty.
Yes.
Which is something that, you know, the majority of Americans seem to be for, no matter what, and I just 65% don't.
65%, apparently.
Is that what it is?
According to the polls, which is the one of the shows we're doing in the later in this season.
Polls later. And the ones we have that we haven't written yet is we're doing a show on abstinence.
Yes.
People who will not have sex until they're married.
I'm writing that one now, yes.
Yep, we're working on that one. And we've also got one coming up on just numbers, on scams that are done with numbers and infomercials and so on.
And
I hate to disappoint the listeners to the Big Pen Gillette show, but not a lot about pie in the numbers show. I know when you see the name Pen Gillette, you say, oh boy, there's going to be a lot of talking about pie, but there's not a lot. I'll just tell you right now, I've looked at the script, we've been writing it, and there's just not a lot about pie. Let me see, let's go to the news here. I don't know if you, there's some hints that the Federal Reserve Chairman, the new guy, Ben. I always get those two names confused.
Bernanke.
It says in all the papers that he's cryptic about what he's saying. He's just giving hints.
Sure.
So I guess he says
his job.
Like,
he's not allowed to say, I'm going to raise interest rates. He may be allowed to. He just doesn't
work
that way.
I have a quote.
You'll quote
the speech.
From him.
Okay. He says, interest way, eight ray, IK.
Really?
That's what he said right in the middle there. So that's what they mean by cryptic. How do they know? I mean, how does the New York Times or whatever listens to his speech and they can tell cryptic stuff that we can't tell?
Yes.
He's sending like
they're
secret
experts.
Big Latin type things. And then in Britain, did you read this? This bothered me. In Britain, they have criminalized the glorification of terror. They've criminalized it. So you can't say good things about terror. And I think that freedom of speech has to include being able to say good things about terror. And then the people that listen to you go, no, there's
you're
nothing good about
idiot.
Terror. It's awful. And they come out and say that. But the and so they've now, and next up, they're going to just say, you know, you can't say anything bad about something good. Can't say anything good about something bad. I mean, and in the related news here, the Magna Carta has inexplicably burst into flames. Just blew up.
We have a lot on the British today.
A lot of the British
the
stuff.
Other problem.
Oh, there was also that health care thing, right?
Yes, they have rejected a woman's plea for the country's health service to provide her with a breast cancer drug, Herceptin. not only is it a complex drug, it's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason. And with an English accent, it's nearly impossible to say. Do you pronounce the H? Do you not pronounce the H? What
right.
do you do there? It's a tough thing. But that thing.
Herceptin.
You know, a lot of people, you know, when you're talking to hippies, if you hang out with hippies, which I occasionally do,
yes.
They will tell you how great health care is in Canada and how great health care is in England. And if you talk to people from Canada or from England, they never agree. You know?
Yes.
Health care is awful. And here's a woman that, you know, needs this drug, and she is not getting it, not because the drug is not tested. It's for breast cancer, right?
It's not licensed for early stage breast cancer.
Okay. But it's expensive.
It's expensive.
And it's not licensed for that?
Not licensed for early stages. So if she were very, very sick, they'll give it to her. But okay. at the point now.
But the reason it's not licensed, that's with the English government, right?
Sure.
Not like because of the money, right?
Right.
Because it would help early stages, right?
It might.
It might.
Has not actually been tested in early stages.
But see, that's why you want the free market involved in medicine.
She should be able to purchase that drug.
Well, she can purchase the drug. But the point is, she's already paid for health care.
Sure, sure.
When you've told
her.
People that their taxes will pay for health care, I guess you might want to say there's a baseline, there's a bottom level where the government will take care of you. Then above that, you have to pay for that. But a lot of stuff happening with the nutty English. You know, they have this crazy stuff going on. But saying that you can't say good stuff about terrorism is really awful. I think
very odd.
I just I'm such a free speech fan, and on the Boy Scouts death penalty.
Well, yeah, someone on line 10 has called in and our
wants to talk about both the death penalty to the Boy Scouts.
We could ask.
It just popped up on my screen. Boy Scouts death penalty. Well, I'm going to stop.
We don't even have his
sentence.
Name.
No, who cares? That someone can tie those two together should be on the phone. Can we talk to line 10, New York. Rudy, you there? Put us on line 10. How you doing, man?
I'm not trying to tie the two together.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay, good. What's your name, man?
I just wanted to make sure that we're getting that across first.
Okay, good.
I'm not trying to tie the two together.
I'm a little disappointed. Do you hear the disappointment in my voice?
Personally, I'll tell you that I think that the Boy Scouts should get the death penalty because they're very exclusive.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
What's your name, boss?
My name's Matt. I'm from Long Island.
Matt. Okay, man. So you're anti-Boy Scouts. Were you a Boy Scout ever?
No, I wasn't. I know a bunch of people who are Eagle Scouts and Boy Scouts, but I was never involved. I come from a very Jewish town, so Jews and the Boy Scouts don't exactly get along. Time has told us.
But we didn't
find they're expressly forbidden, though.
No, for Jews are not forbidden.
I'm not about to come across and say that the Boy Scouts are anti-Jewish, and I don't want to say that on the air. But you know,
well, I'm sorry to
it's a known fact.
It is. Wow.
Ken, I just wanted to tell you, I love you in The Aristocrats. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Thank you.
It's great, man.
Thanks.
Absolutely hilarious.
And what are you going to say about the death penalty?
Not anything specific. I was just basically calling to talk about the Boy Scouts and how they're very exclusive and they're not really, into having other people, you know, who aren't like them. I don't really want to say, you know, the wrong thing here.
You don't want to throw out some accusations.
I don't know if you understand who you called. You called Penn Jillette on Free FM. We specialize in saying the wrong thing.
Well, understandable, but, you know, I understand that there's all this FCC BS and they're all trying to come down on everybody for saying the wrong thing, but free speech is a big thing with me too, Penn, so.
Oh, good. Well, thanks a lot, man.
Cool,
thank
man.
You. Thank
thanks,
you.
Matt.
Anytime.
Thanks, Matt.
I was a little disappointed he didn't tie those together, but we didn't talk to him long because he seemed to just agree with us on stuff.
People hate us. People call in and hate us. Hey, you know what? Your Miami Vice episode is on this weekend.
Oh,
I don't know if you knew that. Someone wrote in and said their TiVo has picked up The Prodigal Son will air Saturday at 2 and at 3 a.m. on TV Land.
Now, The Prodigal
Son. You can
see
Ben
get shot
on Miami Vice.
I don't want to ruin it for you. See, the wacky thing is, at that time, this was the second year of Miami Vice.
Right.
It was the hottest show in the world.
It was cool.
And I've always thought if you were Nostradamus and Nostradamus really had powers, and you were Nostradamus in like the,
lot of suppositions.
This is a thing that Eddie Gordetsky pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to go back to like 1971, and you were able to predict the future, like with the end of the 80s. And you're able to say to all your friends, at the end of the 80s, the biggest stars on television will be narcs. You know, but the set of Miami, there's two things.
Cheech Marin will be a cop.
If I were to come back to life, you know,
yes.
and live my life over again,
uh-huh.
two things I would not do again.
Yes.
High school,
okay.
I would drop out.
Right,
much earlier than I did. I would not do high school, and I would not do Miami Vice. And for the same reasons. The precise same reasons. I believe I went to high school with Don Johnson. Not actually Don Johnson, but a guy so similar to Don Johnson that didn't make any difference at all. And, man, that was an unpleasant set. And at the time, what they were doing, we were off Broadway then with our show in New York. And what the casting people for Miami Vice were doing, and it was Michael Glazer, you know,
right, sure.
Starsky.
Yeah,
Starsky was directing. And you walk in a room with Starsky.
He leapt out of that fiery red Torino and said, action.
Well, it's just stupid. And he's sitting there and he's playing Don Johnson's part. So I didn't want to do the show, right? And I went and I'm reading for Jimmy Borges was the name of the character. And Jimmy Borges was a Colombian drug dealer living in New York. And the whole description of the script said, you know, Jimmy Borges. And I went to them and said, well, my name is Penn Jillette. And I look as little like I came from Colombia as possible. You know, I don't look anything like South American. It was written like in an accent. You know, it was written like, you know, that usual Hollywood type accent. It was written like Speedy Gonzales.
Right, yeah.
Andale, let's get some drugs. And and it had that same kind of Miami Vice. And so I said no. And then the next thing I know, I'm in Miami in a $3,000 shirt.
Wow.
The shirt I had was $3,000. And the poor people, because what they're really doing in Miami Vice is they're just doing a fashion show. You know,
sure.
It's just a fashion show.
With guns.
So they've got people, yeah, they got people with bodies like Don Johnson, you know,
sure.
Attractive and, you know, clothes horse. And
clothes horse?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said clothes horse. That's what happens when you're on the radio.
I didn't know you were hip enough.
You say crazy stuff.
Where did you learn
horse.
That?
I don't know. I don't know. Used to date models, I guess.
That's another letter we'll have to discuss later.
And then these poor people who do the fashion have to dress me, you know? And it was just, you could see them almost crying when they come in and go.
The clothes burrow.
We're finding these Italian shirts, you know.
And there's a $3,000 shirt. We might as well wrap you in newspaper like a fish.
There's never been an Italian guy that was 6'6 and 280. You know what I mean? I'm just too big. You know, what I'm supposed to wear is stuff from Rochester, big and tall. I'm supposed to wear flannel shirts and big baggy jeans. That's what I'm supposed to wear. I'm supposed to dress like
Il Rochester.
What's that?
Il Rochester.
Yeah.
Trying to get the Italian. It's a lame.
So there's no big
and, I apologize.
There's no big and tall involved in Italy. So it was just a nightmare, and I was with, and I'll tell you, you know, I get shot in the head at the end.
Right.
And when I get shot in the head, it was the greatest day of my life. Because, I mean, you spend 3 weeks with John Johnson and see how much you want to stay alive. And the thing that's crazy about Don Johnson is I did not like him, but I liked him more than he liked me. I mean, he just, he wanted me dead every second. And everything, you know.
A lot of people feel that way when they work with jugglers.
Yeah. But what's really funny is he would make these stupid comments, you know. And I would say to him stuff like, Don, how about we make a deal, okay? I will never claim to be the sexiest man in America, and you don't ever claim to be smart and funny, okay? It was horrible. I had to stand next to him, and we did these long walk things because he's not a tall man. He's not really short, but he's not a tall man. He had to walk on apple boxes. So when we were walking side by side, when you see this show, he changes height. You know, when we're walking side by side, the whole path we're walking, he's like up on what's
he's
called apple
riding
box.
A 6 foot unicycle.
Exactly. He's up high and stuff. And we're standing at the bar, and what was it? Michael was the other guy's name.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. He's standing on a box. Don's standing on a box. And I'm there like, you know, if they could have dug a hole for me, they would have done that.
And they did. They put you on Miami Vice. The metaphorical hole.
And I have my stupid haircut. I mean, if you want to really see me at my humiliated best,
right,
then you should really watch Miami Vice.
What the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I didn't know the phone lines were open.
I love this guy. I had him taped. That's all. We'll be back with more of that after this. We're going to have a little interview with Mario.
Where did
talk more
from?
About VS. We taped it from what was it, Monday or Tuesday when the guy called.
Right.
Monday, I guess it was. Okay, this is Pendulette, Mike Godot in Las Vegas. What the hell are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. That's 3733. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
Philip Michael Thomas is the other guy in Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Crockett and Tubbs.
And Tubbs. Why would you let him call you Tubbs?
It was a two-hour... we did the opening show of the second season.
Yeah.
It was a two-hour... And it's a movie in other countries.
Right.
A movie in other countries. And I was so tired. I was doing our off-Broadway show.
Right.
And I was flying on my one day off on a red eye down in Miami to shoot this. And I was shooting all during the day up in New York. And I was so tired in one of the most surreal moments of my life. I hadn't slept in 3 or 4 days. And I had fallen asleep. And I was in deep, deep sleep. And I woke up to Don Johnson shaking me in the shoulder and saying, "We're rolling." So the scene where we're in a restaurant talking, I have been in deep REM right before that, man. So, it's, you know, I say how much I hated it, how much I hated Don Johnson. But I'm sure a huge part of it, maybe all of it, was me. Because I was exhausted, and he...
Did Johnson call in between this commercial and yell at you?
No, he didn't.
You sound like you're apologizing now.
I'm not apologizing. It was a terrible, terrible time.
It was a bad time in your
life.
But
I'll tell you, man. Miami Vice, when you're on like the number one rated show,
right?
You know, the big season opener.
Sure.
The recognition is just unbelievable. And I would go out. I went out with Dawn one night, like for a diner or something, had something to eat. Early on, before right. we really, really hated each other. And it was remarkable how big a star he was. I mean, it's like walking around. Like we also went out with Sean Penn and Madonna
right.
one night. And it's just it's this whole level. You know, when people at that level complain about stardom, and you go, oh, yeah, well, big deal. You worked that hard to get there. You get ripped to pieces. I mean, people jump at you and stuff. It was just really? Crazy. Don was just a – I mean, the biggest stars I've been around have been Don Johnson,
right.
Madonna, Ron Jeremy.
Everyone knows Ron Jeremy.
Everybody in the world knows Ron Jeremy. It's the most recognizable person alive. I want to play this thing. We taped this at the BS set, and we've been talking about Mario for weeks now, so people should hear his voice. So here we go. This is Penn Jillette embedded at Penn & Teller's BS. Take
Thank
away.
You, Penn. This is Penn Jillette. Penn Jillette deeply embedded in the Bulls hit studio. We're here shooting season 4 of the big Bullshot show, and the big excitement here on the set. Well, I'm here with Michael Godeau, of course, who is Michael Godeau is usually my sidekick.
Yes, and today I'm your pants taker.
That's executive producer
executive
is the term.
Producer, I'm sorry. Formal term is executive producer, but yes.
What were you doing as executive producer?
I am making the pants that they purchased, which were way too small for you, fit. Cutting out the back and fixing it with duct tape.
I was too big for the pants. So you've been taping my ass.
I have been taping your ass, yes.
And now my ass is taped. I can't see it. Dustin's here. What does it say on my ass?
It says, kick me.
It's kind of fun we have on the set.
I apologize for that.
It doesn't say kick me hard, though.
Comedy writer and executive producer, sorry.
And the big excitement is about to go into the Navy. We have Mario. We talked about the show. Mario is here. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited. Thank you for having me on.
How was your flight out?
Well, from LaGuardia, it sucked. But beyond that, it went great.
And did a limo driver pick you up?
Yes, he did.
Was he wearing a hat?
No, he wasn't.
No hat?
Had, but still a very good driver. He knew a lot about the knowledge of Las Vegas. So,
was he in a big limo?
What's the definition of it? A regular limo?
Was he like a town car? Or was it a limo?
No, it was a limo.
See, if you're going to be a celebrity, you have to know the difference between a town car, a limo, and a stretch limo. Wait a minute. You're going in the Navy. You're not going to be a celebrity.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So you don't need to know any of this stuff whatsoever.
And I was about to Google it. Damn, okay.
When do you go into the Navy?
I ship off to boot camp March 27th.
March 27th. So you're just storing all these memories. And how long in boot camp?
6 to 8 weeks.
Did they give you some sort of deal when you went in? Like, are you studying to be in the band or something? Or are you actually going to be like a soldier?
Well, I initially signed on as a storekeeper, which is kind of like a dock worker. But I requested that be changed to Master at Arms, which is like a cop in the Navy.
Oh, you want like an MP then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Master at Arms. And where is boot camp?
I'm going to Great Lakes in Illinois.
Now, when you go from Great Lakes, Illinois, are you then going to probably go over to Iraq?
That's up to whoever gives me my orders. But if they say you got to go to Iraq, then I'll go. I'm not going to.
So what I'm trying to get at is it possible we will have Mario embedded in deeply in the Navy in Iraq that we could be like Geraldo, except not retarded and more attractive?
Definitely. If you guys want me to, you know, write you guys when I'm in there, sure, why not?
Cool. Can you call from there?
Definitely. I'll try, yeah.
We'll get phone calls. You also have email, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you be on a ship? You don't know anything. You haven't gone to book
anything yet.
All you believe is the posters, right? So as far as you're going to see, you're going to see travel the world and see wonderful people.
Travel, yeah, beautiful people. I don't know about that one.
You understand that as of the end of March, there are many people on this planet who are trying to kill you.
I understand it, yeah.
And he'll be there for us.
I got robbed at knife point across the street from my job, and I got hit by a car. I mean, I think my chances are pretty good by now.
So where were you from, Brooklyn?
No, I'm from Long Island.
Long Island. And you believe you're going to be safer in Iraq than you were in Long Island?
Well, if I, you know, survived the car hit, then bullet hit shouldn't be that far off.
Legally carry the gun in the army.
If I can survive an impact from an old red Civic from a driver who's cockeyed, I'm pretty sure I can survive an AK round.
And what made you decide to go into the Navy?
Oh, it's something I want to do since I was a kid. Since I was like yay high, I wanted to do it. So
yeah, you're on the radio, so the gesture.
Oh, yeah. But
I think yay high is a pretty standard.
That's pretty.
Yeah, that's a.
And now, what do you think about? What do you think? Have you ever been to Vegas?
No, this is my first time.
What do you think about Vegas?
Beautiful place.
Beautiful place. And how do you like staying at the Rio?
Extremely beautiful hotel.
Okay, cool. You're going to be seeing...
I saw your ad for the seafood restaurant you guys got there.
Oh, yeah. you want to go to that seafood restaurant?
Sure, why not?
We'll set you up tomorrow night. We can do that.
You can set that up. I don't think they... just tell them I said to sign for it.
we could do that. If you, anything else you want that you saw at the Rio? Go in the Navy. You want hookers? We're doing one of the bullshot episodes is on prostitution. So a little bit later, we are going to be lousy with hookers here on the set.
Well, that's standard Vegas. I mean.
Yeah, that's not Long Island. No, that's Vegas is when you do that. And what do you think about the set here with?
Oh, I'm having a great time. It's hilarious out here. It's fun.
Does it seem like what you thought it would be making a TV show?
Oh, better. Definitely better, yeah.
You think I have an easier job than you thought?
Much more fun job, yes. And you got Goudeau here literally taping your ass. That's...
And were you disappointed at anything? Did you think like, oh, he's reading off the prompter?
No.
You like the people dressed up as Boy Scouts and tied up?
Yeah.
You know, going into the military, yeah. So don't ask, don't tell. If you enjoyed the Boy Scouts, being tied up, you should not say it here on the radio.
On top, I think there's a few lawyers that are listening to this. So from here on out, any questions concerning the Boy Scouts being tied up, I'm going to plead the fifth.
And what part of you always wanted to go in the Navy, but when did you decide to be a cop in the Navy?
It's just the different careers within the Navy. I've been thinking about doing different stuff, and it's something I just wanted to do.
Cool. And would you want to come out of the Navy and be in law enforcement?
Yeah, sure, why not?
So you might want to be a police officer in Long Island?
Yeah, you know, if you guys ever get a ticket, I'll, you know, get you out.
Maybe best not to say that on the radio, Mario. Maybe best not to say that on air. So this is Ben Gillette with Michael Goudeau and Mario on the set of Bull's Hit. Say it very carefully. We're fine. And back to you now, Ben.
Well, thank you, Penn. I love talking to Mario. You know, I miss him now.
He was great.
I miss him, yeah.
But you didn't get him dinner, did you? Did you take him to Buzio's?
That was a complete lie.
Okay.
When I said it, I had no intention. It didn't even cross my mind. I figure, you know, there's this kind of power thing going on. You know, he's 18. He's going to the Navy. You know, he wanted to come out and see us. I could say anything to him and just renege on it. He just wasn't going to call me on that. I was feeling pretty okay. But, no, I mean, we didn't have a chance. You know, we finish up taping at, you know, 7 p.m., at 7. Yeah. And then I go on stage at 8. So I just have time to drive over. If we had gotten done taping early, I would have taken him to dinner.
Yeah. That's so likely.
Yeah, but the chances of that are precisely zero. But if it had happened, I would have done that. It was a good day. You know, the day we did that, you know, we told them naked people. What he got to see was Teller completely
yes.
Butt-ass naked, dripping honey on top of himself. He was pouring for the thing on cryptozoology. He wanted to talk about finding ants.
Right.
Ant species. So Teller was naked, and I mean really, really balls out naked. On his knees, and he had a big pot, like a poo-size.
Winnie the Pooh-size thing. Poo-size is not as specific as you would hope.
Winnie the Pooh.
Clarify size. That, please.
Yeah, okay. Not poo-size. Winnie the Pooh. Size.
Honey pot.
Pot of honey. And he was dumping it over himself, you know. And the great thing was, we all know Teller. It was his birthday on Tuesday. He's 58 years old, you know. He's the smaller guy in Penn and Teller. Although he's like 5'9 and a half, but still. I had this thing in my head that we were going to put honey on somebody, it should look like the Ohio Players cover with the beautiful black woman pouring honey on herself. Uh-huh. Roller coaster. And so it was very exciting.
In your head, Teller would look like
that? No.
Is that your...
In my head, we'd have a beautiful woman naked on the set pouring honey on herself. In Teller's mind, and this was the funny part, everybody is doing web searches, right? They're Googling Ohio Players honey, and they're pulling up full screen the album cover. Sure. And they're showing it to Teller, who's on his knees, naked on the floor, trying to get in the same pose as she's in with his, his skinny white ass and just pouring honey. And we didn't even have a ladle for it like she has.
Right.
He's just pouring honey over his face. And I think in Teller's mind, he looks precisely like the cover of the... But I'm telling you this in case some of you watch that episode and you happen to see Teller on the street afterwards, you could say to him, "Man, Teller, you look just like the Ohio Players cover." It was just beautiful. This is Penn Jillette. Mario is back in Long Island. I'm here with Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas. Taking more calls after this. Hey, this is Penn Jillette. We're back on the Big Free FM, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. Yo, Rudy in New York, let's go to line 8. We got a Navy cop on the line. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, man?
Is this Mike? Thanks a lot, man. So is Mario got a rude awakening coming to him?
It depends on what he's looking into. I was wondering if he had any questions for me or anything. I've been doing this for 4.5 years now.
Are you in now?
Oh, yeah. I'm active duty right now.
And where are you stationed?
I'm actually stationed in New York. I'm doing recruiting duty.
Oh, really?
You'll probably see Mario.
Mario was telling us things that the recruiter told him about. Last night after the show, he was saying that boot camp is really nothing for the Navy. It's hard for the Marines. It's hard for the Army. But Navy is pretty easy. Do you agree with that?
It was easy for me because, I was in good physical shape.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to stereotype here, but a lot of the people that want to become cops in the Navy tend to be in better shape than some of the others. So I guess it's how much you put into it. But it's a whole lot less than the Marines. It's a lot more educational based.
And have you been out of the States?
Say again?
Have you been out of the States? You been overseas at all?
Oh, yeah. I was stationed in Italy for 2 years and Korea for a year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you've always been military police?
Yep, master at arms.
And you're going to come out of the Navy and be a cop?
I might not. It depends. I like it. I'm planning on staying in, but if I don't, I'm looking at going into marshals,
fired.
It's a great thing being an MP, being able to you get the experience in the college, and then, if you want to pursue it further, you do, and if you want to stay in, you do. So.
Cool. That's great. So it sounds like, I thought when I took this call, I thought you were going to go, Mario thinks it's going to be great. Well, he's got another think coming. But you're pretty much saying that Mario's dead on.
Wait until he gets sprayed, then he'll have some fun.
Sprayed?
Yeah, to be able to be qualified to use OC spray, we have to get hit by it, which means we have to get sprayed by it, and then you have to go through an obstacle course, being able to take somebody down and handcuff them when you can't see.
Oh, man. So you've been hit with... Now, OC is mace?
It's like a pepper spray, but it's not mace, but it's not normal pepper spray either, but it's... I don't know the actual term for it, but to be able to be qualified to use it, you have to be sprayed with it and be able to take down people and go through an obstacle course.
Now, I saw a videotape of a people that were being sprayed with various defense sprays, and they were saying that if you have an objective in mind, you can work right through it. Is that true?
I don't know. I've heard people say that they can get immune to it, but the stuff that we were hit with just locks down your eyelids. Like you'd literally need somebody else to pull your eyelids open to flush them out. I mean, just. I don't know. I mean, there might be those people out there that can darn drugs that can get through anything. But
you said
you get sprayed with this stuff, you're done. You're down.
You said you ran an obstacle course after being hit by it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you?
Yeah, but you can't see. It's kind of like a blind race.
Wow. Because I wrote this bit I wanted to do for Letterman. and I wanted to just juggle and do a simple like 3-club juggle that I've been doing for like 20 years, and I wanted them to, while I was juggling, hit me in the face with a mace spray and keep juggling through it. And I never got a chance to try it because they said that the mace would go into the ventilation system at Letterman and then CBS would be sued. So we never got to do it. But was that a bad idea for a bit?
Unless you're going to juggle with Nerf balls, I'd say yes.
Oleum capsicum, that's the stuff. It is a pepper spray.
Yeah, that's
spray.
It.
Yeah.
And yeah. Was there any permanent damage? How long did it hurt you?
No, it lasts until they flush out our eyes, gives 10, 15 minutes. But the funny thing is the instructors didn't tell us that when it dries, after your eyes are flushed out, it dries, and then you go home after training that day and you take a shower and it reactivates and it wasn't.
Nice. So did they do the same thing with stun guns? I mean, did they
no, we're not allowed to have stun guns.
And they didn't do that with real guns, so they didn't just shoot you and see if you we need to show you what it's like to be shot.
And was the purpose of spraying you with the OC, was the purpose because you might be sprayed on duty, or was it just to see so you'd have empathy for criminals, or is it just to monkey with you?
It's both, actually. It's because if it ever does come back in your way with the wind, you know how to react with it. Also because you know what it feels like. I guess it gives you a better judgment on how to use it.
Right.
Because you know exactly what it feels like. So.
You're not really an expert on this, being a Navy cop and not a comedian, but is there anything funnier to a criminal than someone spraying mace and having a blowback in their face?
No, I don't think so. That would actually be pretty funny.
That's probably a level of funny you just don't get. I mean, if you're out drunk and you're causing fights and the MP comes to you and he takes the OC and he sprays it and you're outside and the wind blows and he gets in his face, do you ever stop laughing? I think you laugh
it's
forever.
It's just as effective because you certainly don't escape. You fall to the floor
laughing.
You don't
want to miss a moment of that. You don't want to miss a moment of that. Now, if you haven't been involved in the training, have you ever used OC on anybody?
No,
you never sprayed it.
No.
Now, having been sprayed with it, I guess this tells you more about you than it does about the weapon. But having been sprayed with it, do you think you're more likely or less likely to use it on someone else?
I think if the opportunity comes, I'm more likely to use it. But it doesn't have to be that in the country that I've been stationed in. OC is considered a non-legal chemical weapon. So.
Oh, you can't use it? You couldn't use it in Italy?
Nope, they wouldn't let us use it. So.
Can you use it in New York?
Say again?
Can you use it in New York?
Yeah, you can use it in New York, but I'm not acting as military police right now, mastered arms right now. I'm
as a recruiter.
But recruiters
don't get to use it very often.
Now, I guess you can't answer this, but when you're recruiting people, what is the kind of slimiest, weaselly thing to say?
I'm not sure that's the right way to put that question.
Are there things you say when you're recruiting that you kind of go, it's not 100% true?
Actually, you know what? Every recruiter, I guess, would say this. I mean, I can't talk for anybody else, but I actually try to be as honest as I possibly can. I don't want people to join today's Navy that have the wrong idea. I want people to join because they want to progress themselves further. So I know everybody will probably say this, and I'm sure there's people out there that do things, but I try to be as honest as I can.
Now, are you in that little booth?
I'm sorry.
Are you in that little booth in Times Square?
No, there's... I'm not at that place. I'm in another place.
Now, when you saw it, did you see Fahrenheit 9/11, the Michael Moore movie?
Yes, actually I did.
Now, when they do that whole recruiting thing about going for making the less privileged fight our wars, how did you feel about that Michael Moore hunk in that movie? Not the whole movie, but the hunk on recruiting.
You know what? I saw that before I became a recruiter, but to be honest with you, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I just think he's way off, and he picked somebody to voice his opinion that was in the military in his same shoes and or that believed the same thing as him, but that's not necessarily the case.
Now, do you feel that...
to their opinion, but...
Well, of course. I mean, no one on Free FM would ever argue that Michael Moore doesn't have the right to say that, but certainly part of your right is to disagree, and certainly as someone who, I think by definition, knows more about recruiting than Michael Moore. Do you feel like you target a certain socioeconomic group, or you feel like you're targeting everybody? How do you get people to come in? Do they walk off the street? Do you go to schools? What do you do?
Do all of it. You walk up the streets, you talk to people, you go to schools, you walk around malls, just get yourself out there and let people know who you are. And that's, you know, if people want, or if people are interested enough, they'll come up to you. You know, you talk to other people, but if somebody's really interested, they'll come up to you. But I guess it really also depends on the area that you're in. New York is such a diverse area that we have everybody here. So it's, you can't just say, you know, only Hispanics come up, only, it's everybody.
Do you get rich kids going in?
Oh, yeah. Kids from all different backgrounds. I don't know the numbers. I couldn't tell you for a fact because I'd be wrong. But kids from all different backgrounds go in. Not even just kids. People that have already, you know, been out of high school for a while. Everybody goes in. There's just, it's all, it varies.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. Thanks a lot.
No, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling, man.
Before I go?
Oh, no, I think we got it covered. I'm just really impressed.
We're going to Mario your number.
We're going to Mario your number. Thanks an awful lot, Mike. Thanks. You know, I just really, there's the guy you want representing you.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, pretty straightforward
and just, and that's the thing. You know, I could not have been more anti-military. You know, I was right at the end of Vietnam.
Sure.
They stopped the draft like 6 months before I was eligible. I was right on the cusp. And I very much didn't want to go in. I didn't want to go in because I wasn't in favor of Vietnam, but I just didn't want to go in because I thought that my personality in the military would be not a good fit.
You would either be running it or dead.
Then they said, actually, the only job I've ever heard about in the military that I'd be interested in is the OC tester. I got to tell you.
You just like that, don't you?
I have this really sick thing, you know.
I've had it fired in my home.
Have you?
Yes, yeah, by a teenage kid who was playing with the bottle of it. It was unpleasant.
Just in the home?
Yeah. Shot it on the carpet far away from everyone else.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes later, all of a sudden, everybody goes, you know, I don't feel so good. My eyes kind of hurt. And it just got worse and worse, and we all ran out of the house.
It took
about an hour before the kid went, by the way, I fired some pepper spray in your living room.
So you went out of the house before you knew what it was?
Yes. Yeah. We had to get out of the house.
Could you smell it?
You couldn't smell it at all. It just hurt.
I think I would be such a good tester, though. I think, you know, because you played hockey, right? And you used to get people out of the game by being able to insult them enough that they did illegal things to you.
My job was to be punched.
I think the two of us, I mean, we're both really good at that. You know, you have that incredibly annoying giggle.
Exactly.
You know, and if I get myself in the wrong mood and you start giggling, I want to hit you.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
And but most of the time, I really like that about you.
Okay.
And I think I have more kind of annoying things than you do. I mean, I think my looks, my manner, everything. And so I think that if you wanted to put me in the military, you know, the all-volunteer army, if they said, Penn, you can go in and for 6 months be an OC tester,
right,
and you get all these benefits and stuff, I would have might have considered it. You know? I might could do that. But I really like how straightforward it is. And to hear, you know, you put Mike, the Navy cop, up against Michael Moore, the filmmaker, and it seems like the guy who makes documentaries for a living should be better spoken and more measured than the guy who recruits, you know.
But
I really love talking to him, and I love talking to Mario because, you know, we're older. I'm 50. You're what, 48?
45.
And we're, you know, we're in show business, so we don't have much.
I'm clearly lying, aren't I? 45 or 46? I don't know.
And so we don't have that much contact with people Mario's age and people in the military and so on. It just doesn't cross over. And I just really, I love finding out as I get older that the people that I was really bugged by when I was younger are really kind of okay. You know?
That leads to another question here. Somebody wanted to know why you were so down on hippies.
Well, you know, I was mostly.
Specifically.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about marijuana.
All right. Yeah.
And my point was that if you're president of the United States, you should be able to at least stand up and say, I do not smoke dope,
you would think,
as opposed to faking it. That was my point. And the stuff about hippies and the Grateful Dead and all that kind of stuff, that's mostly good fun. You know, I'm a libertarian. I'm not a liberal. I'm not in favor of, you know, national health and all that government stuff. I'm not a socialist.
Right.
So I tend to be hippies in general. I tend to have a lot of hostility towards. But once again, individual hippies, I'm okay with. You know, Teddy,
the first time you met me, you said, you're a juggler. You're not dressed like a hippie.
Well, that's also true. Ben Gillette, Mike Goudeau, who will be dressed as a hippie tomorrow on Free FM.